Our Town Ford is your new choice for Fords in Randallstown.
Right now, get total savings up to $13,000,
and there's 0% financing available up to 72 months. Stop by and see us today during the Kickoff to Savings event at Our Town Ford on Liberty Road in Randallstown and at ourtownford.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny for Monday, November the 19th. I'm your host and author of the book, Destiny Awaits, The Pouring Out of Wisdom for Humanity to Drink, Lisa M. Saunders, coming to you from Owings Mills, Maryland. This broadcast is being sponsored by Masterminds LLC, inspiring and empowering people to achieve a greater destiny. So we are super excited this evening about being with you and to be able to share love and wisdom with the desire to uplift, inspire, motivate, and empower you to live a more peace-filled, joyful, and loving life. So to receive and download this podcast, simply go to the iTunes store, click on podcast, and type in A Date with Destiny. It's free. You can also receive it via my website, yourdestinyawaits.net, or simply by Googling us, Blog Talk Radio, A Date with Destiny. Also, follow us on Twitter at Lyse101. That's Lyse101. If you would like to become a sponsor or to get more exposure for your literary work or business, you can send a message via my website, info@yourdestinyawaits.net, or via my Facebook page, facebook.com/A Date with Destiny 101. That's facebook.com/A Date with Destiny 101. So once again, we are excited to be able to share with our listeners information from people of all walks of life that we believe will inspire, motivate, and empower you. We are happy to be in our fifth year of broadcasting and can't wait to share some great things from some really extraordinary people that we have coming up for the rest of this season. So tonight, like I said, we have another amazing show. Tonight, we are going to talk about spiritual awareness and recognizing your spiritual gifts. And here to share with us is an extraordinarily gifted and intuitive being, Susan Dyer. So if you would like to call in and ask Susan a question about your spiritual gift or gifts, give us a call at 929-477-4071. That's 929-477-4071. Susan was born clairvoyant and doubted her sanity for most of her life. But thanks to chronic Lyme disease, a near-death experience changed everything. She now believes that you are God, temporarily embodied and temporarily unaware. Her mission? To help women remember. Today, Susan is a champion of women's spirituality, empowering her community through mentorships, inspirational speaking, and her Facebook community, Divining Women. So A Date with Destiny would now like to welcome Miss Susan Dyer to our show. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hi, Lyse. I'm really good. I'm really happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you. As a matter of fact, we're so happy to have you. We're just going to give you a little bit of an applause right here for just taking the time to come on to the show and to share some of this beautiful wisdom with us. We're so excited to have you. I couldn't wait.
Thank you.
So, well, good, good, good. So, Susan, there is so much ground to cover in so little time. So we're going to hit the ground running, if that's okay with you.
Yep.
Sure. Okay, good. So we want to hear about when you first discovered one of your spiritual gifts, which is clairvoyance, and how you were able to develop that over the years. And then we want you to share your story leading up to your NDE. And from there, we will allow the conversation just to morph into wherever the spirit leads us. So let's just start off talking, because I know, you know, in the brief time that we met, we just fell in love with each other. Like, it was instantaneously, yeah. You know, we found that we have so much in common in our spiritual journeys. And one of those things that we found that we had in common was completely stepping out of our spiritual closet, recognizing and not being ashamed of our spiritual gifts, and just living in our truth, authentically living in our truth. So I would like for you to share with our listeners when you first discovered your spiritual gift.
Sure. And I love what you just said. And it has been a process. I do want to start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was little, I was clairvoyant, although I didn't know what that was.
Right.
So I was, you know, banging around my room at, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 years old, and I could see energy. I could see into, you know, as I understand it now, you know, see in dimensions beyond the one that we perceive ourselves to be in the here and now. And I had no means to understand what was going on. I did have a wild imagination, and really my imagination combined with a very strict church, combined with my loving parents, but, you know, they were wholly unfamiliar with all this. So, you know, I really kind of grew up thinking like I was crazy, that there was something really wrong, and that kind of developed over time. So I didn't even begin to develop intentionally this clairvoyance until much later in my life, when I grew to see it differently, when I finally came to understand that it was a natural part of me, and it's a natural part of everyone. Everyone has a more natural way of intuitively sensing their surroundings. And but it really did take a number of decades before I pursued that myself.
Yes. Yeah, because I think I shared with you earlier that I believe that when souls come into this realm, you know, via an embryo, when you decide to come back, you know, because I believe in, you know, reincarnating, but I believe when we choose to come back and we're born, I always say that children are fresh off the heavenly press. And we can still communicate with our angels, and, you know, even, you know, they're just very, they even remember being with loved ones that they've never met, like, you know, they've seen an aunt or a great grandfather, you know, that they've never met here on earth. And then their family members are like, well, how do you know that? You know, what are you talking about? How do you know that? You know, so children are very, very intuitive. And then, you know, parents don't know what to do with that. We, you know, we don't know when a child says, well, you know, I'm seeing this, or I've talked to God, or I've talked to Auntie Susan, or I've talked to, you know, Uncle. And they're like, what? What do you mean? So they kind of just like freak out a little bit because they don't know what to do with that. So then your gift goes unnurtured.
And it kind of goes a little wild, too.
Yeah.
You know, as
kids,
we're trying to make sense of our surroundings, but we're really reliant on limited resources. We've got, you know, we've only got a little bit of life experience. And, you know, if our parents don't happen to have matching experience, it really is a matter of you piecing it together ourselves. And so often we are incarnating with parents who we may perceive not to be such a match, because it is a great background of contrast for us to transmute and strengthen over. So it's pretty common, actually, to come in and to have some kind of a feeling of a rift or difference between your parents, especially if you're like on this path, you know?
Yes. And then we had a conversation about that, as you know, we've discovered that, or we believe that that's the path that we chose, you know, while we were in the other realm, because one, it awakens us quicker than if we didn't choose it, especially knowing that you're a light worker and that you're intuitive. You know what I mean? So it brings you to more self-awareness quicker. It doesn't seem like it's quick.
Policy.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't seem like it's quick when we're going through it.
No, not at all. And I would say, you know, I've been so many light workers that they are those people that you kind of think are like problem people. You know, they've got major contrast. They've had rough goes of it. And sometimes you'd say, oh, yeah, that person is kind of a late bloomer. It's like we give ourselves these heavy stories to come into. We wanted to make sure that we end up with good depth and weight to our character so that we can resonate all the better as we try to help our fellows. It's such a common quality for anyone who's a light worker is to really have put great contrast into their path.
Yeah. And you know, too, being a light worker and being a healer, one of the things that I've discovered is that before we can heal anyone else, we must heal ourselves. So that's like, and that's a painful process.
I love that you said that, because it's so true.
Yeah, it really
is. I mean, you have to be dismantled down to the bone and then kind of rebuild up again. And it is incredibly painful, and it's on every level, you know.
Yeah.
It can be physical, but definitely, you know, emotional, mental, every single level is possible, really.
Yeah, it's like that phoenix rising, isn't it?
Yes.
Rising from the ashes. Yes. Yes. So, okay. So let's move on to moving forward a little bit. When were you diagnosed? Let's talk about the Lyme's disease and your near-death experience. Because for me, you know, when I started researching NDEs, I just was like, you know, it just captivated me, because every story that I've read about a person who's experienced, who had a near-death experience, everyone who has come back has said the same thing. And they've all said how beautiful it is on the other side, and they didn't want to come back. And it's like, and then they remember seeing, you know, looking down and maybe seeing themselves on the operating. I just thought it was all so fascinating. And I mean, every single person has said the same, you know, exact thing. So you tell us what your personal experience was.
Sure. And you're right. There's always a theme of love, right? It's, no matter how wildly different the stories, and mine was no different, and then it was also unique. So I had been, you know, I had a really dark night of the soul. My husband and I, you know, of 14 years, we split, and my body, I had already had Lyme disease in me for decades, but that the stress of that split kind of resurrected it, like Frankenstein, really, and it took hold. And then I remember the night I had my experience. By that point, you know, I had my one hand and one foot was paralyzed. I'd had, you know, an IV port in my arm for months. I had, you know, traveling pain and neuropathy and, you know, brain fog. And that night I was given this last ditch intuitive gift, which was, my guide basically said, Susan, you do have one shot left, because I've been trying to treat it for years. And it was failing, and my body was failing. And I was crawling up the stairs that night. My guide said, Susan, get out of your body. Get out of your body tonight and get help. And I had never astral traveled on command before. But I did trust it. I was like, all right, I'm going to get it done, because I was out of options, and I knew that that night was going to be the last I'd make it through. And so I did. I got out of my body. I kind of, how I think of it, manifested really a tunnel, and I kind of edged into this tunnel in my astral body and immediately popped out in what is known as the void, which is very deep, dark, like a velvety place. And it's really like kind of the womb. It's kind, to me, it's kind of like the cosmic womb, I guess you could call it. But it scared me to death. And so in that moment, I looked around and I just immediately said, God, please take me somewhere safe and good. And immediately I was in God's presence. And I never was expecting that. I really was hoping to find some kind of a traveling light being, or some kind of like a AAA helper, you know, in the astral realm, just to help heal me well enough to get back to my kids and finish raising them. But instead, I ended up with God, and God, to me, appeared as endless rays of blazing golden light. That's how God looked to me. And I was like floating, kind of like a tea bag in a mug of tea, just completely steeped in God's presence. And I could feel what God was made of. You know, it was like I was in God. It was like a socket, like that, you know, a plug that had plugged back into the socket almost. It was, we were one. And that's where I actually now have that belief, where I felt that. I felt that to be true, that God and I had this intimate and sweeping conversation. But even that word conversation is misleading, because there was no separation between us. It was just, we were merged. And this exchange, it was an exchange, but still there was no separation at all. And his primary question to me was, you know, do you want to stay or go? And that really incited a bunch of fear, because I was like, what if God doesn't believe me? So I threw up a picture of my kids to show them I was serious. And I was like, I want to stay. And I started hand over hand yanking on my silver cord to show him I meant business. Like, I was wild with fear. I kept my personality for this whole journey. And, you know, after I had made that statement with him, and we didn't talk like you and I are talking. It was without words. It was like a more of an energetic imprint. And the thing I'd most want to say about that, because there's a lot of info exchanged there, but God viscerally felt like the word freedom, even beyond love. His love was so pure that I just felt like it was not anything like the love we know. And that's why I kind of settled on that word freedom. He viscerally felt like freedom, like joyous, ever expansive, lighter than air freedom. And it was such a pure love that, like, you really can't put the word love on it. It's like impossible. It won't fit into that word. And so we had that exchange. And then afterwards, I ended up with Jesus. And Jesus looked like Jesus. And he just asked me, he said, do you want to get better? And I said, yes. And I grabbed his hands and I was screaming. I was like, I'm going to get better as fast as I can. I was screaming that over and over. And we flew together through all of this brilliant green, all these different shades of green, which I do believe was some form of very intensive healing energy, because we did that together. And then he did ask me after we did that, he said, you know, where do you want to go now? And I told him, I got like giddy. And I told him I wanted to visit one of my guides who I've named Perry. And this will definitely sound a bit odd to some of our listeners, but, you know, he took me to a very large spacecraft and we kind of looked at it together. Basically, he was like, is this the right one? Does this look good? And I was like, yep, this is perfect. And I went into the craft and had an experience with Perry, my guide. And the following morning, I woke up. And over the next 10 days, you know, my symptoms you know, even my blood, which had been like overrun with iron, like everything, all my symptoms just fell away over the next 10 days. And no one could explain, you know, but I knew what had happened. And they actually did take a dip. My symptoms dipped after that. And that was another crisis because I thought, well, what did I do wrong? But once I committed fully to being on earth and seeing this through, you know, my symptoms again fell away in that same manner that they did. Following, you know, this experience.
Wow. And your doctors, again, they couldn't explain it, right?
No. I mean, no, it's like somebody had snuck in and emptied my blood and replaced it with, like, beautiful iron-free blood. Like, I mean, you know, nothing. There was just nothing explainable. You know, there was just me kind of giggling, like, I know what happened. You know,
right.
It's crazy.
And it hasn't come back.
No, I mean, I am aware of it. Like, it's funny. I actually I still have to eat well. I can't just wash my hands of it. It's something that does require me to be like a co-creator and take care of myself.
Right.
Which I'm okay with. But no, I mean, that ultimate healing was definitely not of my doing and not possible in any other way.
That is amazing. So tell us how, so you knew, you already knew, well, we talked about you being clairvoyant, but I want you to explain what we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. So I want you to start with one of yours, which is clairvoyant. So just tell us what that is.
So, you know, that word clair means clear, and it's a French word. And there's a bunch of different spiritual gifts, clairvoyance meaning clear seeing. And it looks so many different ways. There is no just one jar sitting on a shelf of clairvoyance. You know, some people may see auras. Some people may see movie clips, you know, in their mind's eyes. Or, you know, for me, it has run the whole gamut. Like, I can see beings, I can see angels, I can see auras and chakras and, you know, sometimes, even today, I do not know what I'm seeing. However, I'm no longer afraid. I know that it is gorgeous, and I know that my own vibration is so love-based that whatever it is I'm seeing resonates with that. And by being able to see all of this, like, I mean, it can be so healing for others to be able to offer them information about themselves that maybe they only halfway discern. You know, it's like to be able to kind of go in deep to another person and offer them any wisdom from these other layers of themselves has been really satisfying.
Okay. So tell us, give us another spiritual gift. You have clair, because I think it's three clairs.
Oh, there's many. So one of them, which I am certain most of your listeners will resonate with, is clairsentience. And that is, I'm sure you guys have heard that word empath. That person's an empath. I'm not sure. It basically means clear feeling. And so you have clairvoyance, and that's what I call a solar clair. It's more out in the open. It's more obvious. Like, if you've got clairvoyance, you know it. But there are these lunar clairs, like clairsentience, and people may be so profoundly psychic their entire lives and have no idea because it's so natural to them. You know,
right.
Their friends may think of them as like, oh, definitely talk to, talk to Lise. Like, she's amazing.
Yep.
She will be able to hear you. She gives the best advice. She, like, always knows what to say. And that's because, like, you're listening with your gut. And I always describe it as, like, somebody who has got clairsentience, that this clear feeling. It's like you are listening to someone talk, yes, but it's almost like you are interpreting the actual subtitle via your understanding of how that person's feeling. Like, you can feel the truth even louder than anything anybody's saying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like women, you know, a lot of women have this. A lot of women have this gift. For those of your listeners who may be somebody who's like, you know, I don't love crowds. I get a little bit stressed out, a little bit frazzled. Or somebody who's sensitive, who's like, you know, after I hang out with that person, I feel really drained. That's because as a somebody with clairsentience, you're very porous in that way. And that gift is so beautiful, because really anyone with this is a divine bridge. You are able to create a union between you and whomever else, and you are able to bring yourselves together and embrace them at a deep kind of level of acceptance and integrate them in a way that is profoundly comforting and inspiring. Empaths can make amazing counselors or friends, you know what I mean? And so many people have it and don't even realize it.
Right. And I'm so glad you're explaining it. That's a great way to explain it. I love that, that you simplified it. And I agree. When you talk about, because I'm an empath, so, and I know that this is one of my spiritual gifts, but I used to look at that as being a curse. Because being an empath is not, if you don't know what it is and you don't practice to turn it around, because it could be negative and it's a negative and a positive. You know what I mean? Because we feel energy, we feel other people's energy. So if you don't guard yourself, if you don't, you know, watch it, you could absorb the negative energy from someone else and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, so this is a clair that is so often called a curse. It is because it can make you feel like you're on a tiny ship amidst a huge ocean storm. You can feel you're like bleeding out your energy, and there's just there's a phrase, energy hygiene, and that's all it takes, is just an awareness of your surroundings. And instead of guarding your energy, I would love to put this out to your audience, is to take kind of adjust that thinking and be like, I filter my energy. You don't need a sword. You don't need to kind of like attack first and kind of push people away because you're worried what could come. And you also don't need a shield. You're not less powerful then. You don't need protection. But rather, if you want to imagine that you are always filtering your energy. Because see, what you do as an empath, the moment you think of someone else, you don't realize it, but you're throwing out an energy tentacle that gets into their field. And that's how you get that kind of sensing of that person. And then when you kind of rip that energy tentacle back in, it's kind of dipped in their stuff. So if you have a filter up, you can still do your natural way of sensing and exploring. But then when you pull back in your field, anything that is not yours or doesn't serve your highest and best will filter out.
Exactly. I love the way you put that. And that is so profound. And I'm hoping that everyone just heard what you just said, especially those who feel that they are empaths, because that is so, you know, a lot of empaths that I run into, they're in a place where they're in a dark place. And they don't know what to do about it. And I find myself, you know, sharing, you know, pretty much what you just said, because you have to teach people. They don't even know what it is.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't, because like you said, when you're clairvoyant, you know what that is, because you're seeing, you know. Exactly. But this one is a little bit trickier, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's so natural. Yet at the same time, if it's nothing that you've examined before, you're also likely being drained by it. And that's coming right out of your solar plexus chakra. But the moment that you have an awareness of this, and I'd invite, like, if people are comfortable with the concept of angels, you know, Archangel Metatron, who does sacred geometry, and Archangel Michael. Those are the two beings I call in every day. I ground my energies and I ask them for their assistance in cleansing and strengthening and harmonizing my energies. And that does include my energetic filter. But I believe that it's like to think of this as a gift, and that you are not less powerful than, you're not weak. It's just your heart resonates so deeply. Many beings are attracted to it. And so you just need to understand energy hygiene. That's all.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. So there you have it. You know, do your research on that. And if you work on it, once you're consciously aware of what it is, I believe that you'll start to even heal yourself in that area. So thank you for, you know, bringing that up. So let's go on to the next one.
Sure.
Clairaudience.
So clairaudience. Yeah, that's another one that's like a solar clair where people likely know that they have it. It's another one of those where, you know, something doesn't look like the other. And that can, it's, you know, in essence, you're hearing things from beyond this immediate dimension here. So you could be hearing spirit or any other beings. You can hear this both from within your own head or from without. You can actually hear, you know, messages as if something's being said to you and it's outside your own head. And these are people, like, oftentimes they will love music. They'll resonate deeply with it. There are people who will find themselves in the car and they will hear, like, as if it's been highlighted in the song, a message from the words of the, you know, the lyrics, you know. People who play instruments. Anyone who's attracted to that kind of thing, you likely have a natural, you'd be a natural at developing a clairaudience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can have more than one, correct?
We all have all. I mean, as God sparks, like this being multidimensional, that is our natural way of being. It's actually extraordinarily natural. But this is what I would say. Most of us have one or two that are most natural. And then with time, like what I always suggest is start with your low-hanging fruit. Like whatever means is your most natural, you start there, develop that, and you'll see, you'll be kind of guided to develop all of them. But I've noticed the best momentum happens when you go with your natural way of attuning to your surroundings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. And, you know, so that's the three. Is there another one that you want to talk about before I move on just a little bit? Because you were about to say something. Oh, there you go.
Claircognizance, that's clear thinking. And that's another one people don't realize they have. But they're the people who get sudden inspiration or they just kind of seem to know something, but they don't know why. That's because they're essentially channeling. They're getting a download of information from their soul selves or from the realm of spirit. So that's another one to be aware of. If you're very mental, if you're a good, strong thinker, and you just seem to kind of like know stuff and you even surprise yourself at times, that is claircognizance, which is clear thinking.
Clear thinking. Yes. I love that. And again, like you said, because your hashtag, I love your hashtag, you are God. I love that. How did you come up with that?
That literally, I was scared to even say it in my own prayers for a long time, but that is the nutshell of what my near-death experience showed me. I mean, that being in that presence with God, that is what I knew. I knew it to be true. And it felt too shocking. It felt like I was terrified to say it. I would say it quietly in my own prayers. I'd be like, God, I'd like to say this to you as I'm praying, but I want you to know that if I'm incorrect, I want you to know that I'm saying this with all the love in my heart and not in an arrogant way. And, you know, I would say that I'd preempt it for so long. And then, you know, now I say it out loud proudly. I do believe it. But I know that it could sound almost arrogant, but it's actually the opposite. I mean that to say that we are literally, there is no separation, that we are just an actual spark of God pressing outwards into form as a big part of all that is pressing outwards and experience itself, you know? And I knew that to be viscerally true when I was steeped in those golden rays with God. That's the truth that I knew.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm listening to you. And when you said that you were afraid to say it out loud, you know, and you were brought up in a religious background, correct? Is that what you told me? I'm trying to remember. Okay. So I was too. And then of course, you know, when you come from a religion, you know, you're taught the Bible, you're taught the New Testament, the Old Testament, so on and so forth. And I believe that, you know, that's a great place to start. It gives you a great foundation. But then as you get older, you know, you start to seek out spirit, the greater spirit, which we call God, whatever you choose to call the greater spirit, you start to seek out on your own journey, on your own spiritual journey. And you still use certain references. You still, to me, now this is just my, you know, my take, my opinion, you know, use the Bible as a reference. And so when you say that you are God, what to me, what I'm hearing is the same thing that Jesus said, you know, in the New Testament, speaking to the disciples when he said, you know, the same miracles, the same God that dwells in me, the same things that I do, you can do them too. You know, we all have the same abilities. You know, I'm not any more special than you are. Whatever I can do, you know, you have that within you as well. And then if, you know, for those of you who go, you know, have Bible study or church school or whatever, and if you just go through the New Testament, you know, when you walk through the text, it says, you know, he's always right there with you. He never elevated himself, you know, above. He was just right there, and he always made you feel like you're one and the same. Now, that's just what I've, you know, gleaned from that. So when you say that you are God, yes, I can. I relate to that. I agree with that because that's what he said. He said it. And it's in the text. Yes, so yes. Do your research, do your homework for those. It's there. So don't, never be afraid. Of course, now I know that you're not. But, you know, for those that like to go back and reference, you know, the Bible, it's in there. You know, so, but that doesn't. Yeah. And so I really appreciate you. So what made you, so you said that your near-death experience brought you to that revelation, right? And now you have this beautiful Facebook group, Divining Women, and women, it's your ministry. So
yes,
you
called to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I so Joy, so go ahead.
I felt like I had created a completely fraudulent life out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am not kidding. Since I was little, I made the decision. I'm weird. I'm broken. Now, my intersection with Catholicism really confused me. Archangel Michael had been with me through my childhood, you know, nearly every day, and he appeared as a red energy. He was trying to assist me in my root chakra with staying grounded to earth. I took that in my young mind. I thought, you know, with my religious training, I thought the devil was after me. And I used to think, mm-hmm. why am I so bad? What did I do? More evidence. Like, I am weird. There is something very wrong with me. And I pretty much intentionally camouflaged myself all the while growing up. And you know, that caused so much chaos when you're living that way, when you are living fraudulently. I married a man who didn't even like me to begin with, you know. I was never, never forthright about any of this. The last time I ever spoke about it in high school, I begged my mom to take me to the eye doctor. But that was it. It just went back into the abyss, never to be mentioned again. I was so afraid to live out loud. I knew people would find me unacceptable. I knew they would walk away because I'd heard it my whole life. You're weird. I had that near-death experience. I literally, afterwards, I made a promise. I said, God, okay, I promise. Use me up. Use me up, God. I will do it. I will live transparently. I don't care what happens. And I made that promise, and I set about doing really what had been my greatest fear all along, which is speaking about this stuff to everyone.
Yes.
Total fear. Like, what's going to happen? You know, but actually, it's such a more streamlined existence. Instead of stuffing your whole self away, it's actually much easier to live out loud like this.
Yeah, because when you stuff, when you, like you said, stuff it away, then you're creating illness, this disease, dis-ease within your own body.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we're not living authentically at that point. So when you start to live your authentic self, and what I've realized is that when we start to live our authentic selves, everyone's not meant to go the whole way with us. So you may start to lose a friend or two, you know, people, but that just means that they were only there for a certain amount of time to serve whatever purpose at that time. But for you, for us that are healers and light workers, you know, we have to let certain things go in order for us to grow and be able to reach out to others who are hurting, and they want this stuff. There's a lot of people out there that want to hear this stuff. You know, and we have to let them know not to be afraid of living your authentic self.
Yes. Yeah. It's very scary.
Yeah, it can be. You are absolutely correct. But, you know, I have a couple of people. The switchboard is so lit up, and I'm sitting here looking at some of the people who are calling in, and I want to, take a caller right now, if you don't mind.
Good.
And we're going to bring this person in and, you know, see if they have a question for you in regards to, you know, their spiritual gifts or, you know, just something they want to add to the conversation. So let's see who we have here. Hello, caller. You're on the air and your area code starts with a 770.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, are you answering questions tonight?
Yes, we are answering questions tonight. Do you have a question for Susan?
Yes, I know I do have a spiritual gift. I've been told that I'm an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I want to get confirmation, or maybe, I don't know what I'm really trying to ask.
Well, just take your time and just close your eyes and just allow the spirit to speak. Don't think about it. Just ask. We're all friends here. We don't judge. It's a comfortable environment. So just, you know, let it flow.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to get confirmation on whether I was an empath or not. I do feel like I am, you know, at times. Like I don't really fit in. And I'm mm-hmm. always feeling people's energy and things like that. So,
Susan.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, Lisa and I were actually talking earlier today about some of this. But the image they just showed me, I think oh my gosh, I know what we were talking about. We were talking about phoenixes, you know, which is rising from the ashes. So the image they just gave me was a burning, glowing ember. So yes, you are an empath, but even more than that, you are a healer, and you have the power to move and blend energy with your hands. And this doesn't mean you need to go. You don't need to go and sign up for a $200 Reiki class right now. You know, it's not like that. But. If you wanted to, you could absolutely, intuitively develop this ability just with your own intuition at home. If you would spark up, they're saying, just even a very simple meditation practice, and you can begin practicing and sensing on your own body, especially while in prayer. See what you feel. Here, they're telling me to tell you this. You could start in this way, in the quiet, you know, take some time, say a quick prayer, kind of center yourself, and then they're asking you to start here. First, put your right hand on your heart and sit for a couple minutes and sense what it is you feel. And then you switch, and you do your left hand for a couple minutes and sense what it is you feel. And after this exercise, you'll notice that one of your hands, you could really sense that energy. And in the other hand, you really didn't. And they're saying, you know, after you do this exercise, then first things first, you'll know which of your hands are receiving and which of your hands is the giving.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a really beautiful way for you to make a start with this and explore this for yourself.
Okay.
Now, I heard you. Can I have your name?
Shanika. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, so as far as the healing, that means I could, well, help people that are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen, sky's the limit, man. Like, you mm-hmm. are an emotional and energetic healer. You
mm-hmm.
could help people who are in emotional pain. I think if mm-hmm. you really pursued this and gave yourself to this, you could help them transmute, I'd say karma, that word's misunderstood, but you could basically help people really understand down to their core essence and get clarity, get real clarity
mm-hmm.
and heal them. Yes, heal the, you know,
mm-hmm.
heal the ill as well.
Have you ever felt like you were a healer or, you know, because you said something about, you know, you're not sure or you feel like you're an empath. What prompted you to feel that?
Well, some days I could be like, you know, I guess at work I like to conversate. Then other days I don't even want to be bothered. And then I don't want to come off as being rude or mean, but it's just sometimes people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always feeling people's energy, and I don't like a lot of people in my space or touching
mm-hmm.
me, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as my
okay.
hands, it's like I have like a feel, like a certain feeling. I could never really explain it, like my right hand.
Mm.
Okay,
yeah,
so I bet you, that's funny. That's my right
mm-hmm.
hand is the one that I sense with too. It's the
mm-hmm.
one that I receive with. So it's the one that, like,
mm-hmm.
blows up whenever anything's happening. And then my
mm-hmm.
left hand is the one that the energy flows out of. But that
mm-hmm.
would be, like, I really urge you to explore and experiment for yourself because you already know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you really
mm-hmm.
could
yeah.
blossom this as quickly as you want it to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would encourage you because I'm a Reiki master practitioner, and I would encourage. Sounds like that's what you need to start exploring,
mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like especially when you said that you have the energy in your right hand, I would
mm-hmm.
encourage. Are you familiar with Reiki at all?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I would encourage you to start really researching that,
okay.
and. I guarantee you, once you start researching that, you're going to want to just explore it yourself. I'm quite sure. I don't know where you live, but there are probably Reiki classes in your area, and it's going to change your life actually. Because let me ask you one more question. And you don't have to share this part if you don't want to. But
okay.
do you attend church regularly?
Not anymore. I used to.
Okay. Okay. See. Okay. So that's like me too. But so now it sounds like you're searching, you're seeking more, you're seeking
yes.
more spiritual wisdom, right?
Yes.
And, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. Even the fact that you are on the show tonight shows that you were supposed to be here to hear our conversation. So Susan just gave you some wonderful, wonderful advice. And like she said, you already know the answer. So now you just have
yes.
to start trusting what you're hearing, trusting the God voice inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to lead you somewhere absolutely freeing. It's going to liberate you. That's the word. It's going to liberate you.
Yes.
Okay. I hope that helped.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And you can still, you know, I'm not going to hang up on you. You can still listen in if you'd like, okay? But thank you so much for calling in. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you. So, Susan, that was very profound. And, you know, I run into a lot of people, like the caller, who are just, they just don't know. You know, and they're, and
know.
Here's something. Okay,
no,
yeah. But,
it's so interesting. Yeah.
Yes, yes, Yes. And I think that let's talk about that for a minute, because we're starting to run out of time a little bit. But just real quick, let's touch on this part, because at the end of the show, I'm going to kind of elaborate a little bit more on intuition, that still small voice. That's the voice of God. The voice of God, and it will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. So if you are praying, see, I always say that when we pray, we're asking, we're seeking, you know, we're reaching out. But when we meditate, we're receiving the answer. So prayer is you're seeking, you're asking. Meditating is receiving, right? When you meditate, that's when you listen. You have to be still. Be still, and then know and trust that still small voice, because it will never lie to you.
So, yes, I want to say one thing about meditation.
Go ahead.
Which is, there are some people, you're absolutely right, where it's like, be still. But what really, I think of that more as like a be centered, because there are some people, many people, but they cannot stand sitting still. And they would have a far more profound and effective meditation by walking.
You know, that's true. Yeah.
You trust your actual preferences.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a morning person. If you made me get up at like 6 in the morning to meditate, guess what? I would not do it. I'd have a much different life. But if you're like, Susan, you need to meditate, and I could do it at midnight, I'd be doing it every night. So meditation is so critical, and to try to really tailor it to suit your preferences and personality.
Yes,
so you're
absolutely
setting yourself up for success, like you'll actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, even when I'm out in nature, because I walk, you know, I love to walk, and when I'm out in nature, oh my gosh, there's so much, you know, I can hear, I can even hear more clear sometimes, you know what I mean? So there's so many ways that for you to listen, and like you said, be centered. I like that, to be centered.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Many people have such a better time trying to receive when they're in motion.
And there really isn't, but here's the thing though, the only thing I will say, because there really isn't any right or wrong way, but you have to allow yourself to listen. You know, if it's walking, if it's, you know, you're driving, turn the radio off. If you're in the house by yourself, turn the television off. You know, silence your cell phones. You know, it's just so that you can hear the still small voice within. And here's another scripture, you know, because sometimes, you know, like for me, scriptures just, they jump, you know, okay, so you ever see a movie where, something just illuminates in gold off a page, it just kind of like illuminates? You know, so when you seek, you shall find. If you knock, and the door shall be open. So a lot of times you have to know, go underneath of what that thing might be saying. But one of my favorite sayings is be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. So being still could just turn the television off. When you're writing, turn the radio off. You can't hear with all that noise. You just can't.
Yes.
And then trust what you're hearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes, like trust what you're hearing, and that the idea of there is no separation, like meditation, you can bring that into anything.
Yes.
Like you can bring that be still and know I am God. You can bring that resonance into any place or any time, and you can make a meditation out of anything. But I am so with you. You actually do need, like on a pie chart each day, you need a piece of that pie to be in quiet. I do agree.
Yeah.
It's like that is a blank canvas of great importance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do, again, encourage the caller just to start researching Reiki. You're going to be amazed by that. And I think that, not only even think, I know for a fact that once you start to study that, you're going to fall in love with it. Because especially by being an empath, it's not about healing others so much as it is about healing yourself. And once you are healed yourself, you can't help but want to help other people to heal. So I just encourage you to to do that. And, you know, it's so unfortunate, but we're down to the bottom of the show. I told you this was going to go by so fast because there's so much more that I want to cover with you. So first and foremost, Susan, we're going to have you come back on the show to share with us. We'll do a part two and a part three and a part four if we have to, you know, because
that.
we haven't even really scratched the surface. So I'm excited to be able to bring you back on if you're willing.
Love that.
To continue to share with us. And I want to encourage everyone, you know, Susan's information is in the bio of this show. So if you want to go back, and her website is on there. Her Facebook group is Divining Women on Facebook. And you also have a YouTube channel. I'm going to go back in and add the link to that as well so that you can go onto her YouTube channel. She's got some amazing videos out there. This woman is the real deal. She's very authentic. And I'm so excited that she has, we found one another, as a matter of fact, you know what I mean? So I just appreciate you so much, and I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your light, and I appreciate what you're doing to bring light to the spiritual gifts, because a lot of people just don't understand them.
Yeah. And I love what you're doing too. I do feel like it was such a divine friendship that sprung out of the air. So I'm so
grateful. Well, I thank you, Susan, so much. And if you'd like, you can sit tight, because I'm at that part of the show where I want to leave you with this. Many people think that being spiritual means being positive, but being spiritual means being conscious and aware. So to become conscious is a much different thing than to become positive. To become conscious and aware, we must become authentic. Authenticity includes both positive and negative. And I said earlier, we were talking about spiritual gifts and being empaths and clairvoyance and some of the other spiritual gifts that Susan shared with us. A lot of times, you know, we want things in our lives to manifest. We want joy. We want peace. We want abundance. We want all of the things that will help us to live a more joy-filled and spirit-filled life. And so it's really the way to bring that about is really about how we feel. It's all about how we are feeling about any given situation, especially when it comes to things we would like to see manifest. And we said earlier that each and every one of us are intuitive beings. We all have the ability to see, hear, and discern directions from the greater spirit in which most of us call God. Why? Because the greater spirit, God, dwells inside of us. We have to practice listening to that still small voice within. Start paying close attention to the way things come into your space. What were you thinking about around that time? More importantly, how were you feeling about what you were thinking about? If you were feeling profoundly assured that a certain thing was or was not going to happen, then that's what you are experiencing at that time, the thing that did or did not happen. So in other words, if you want to start experiencing a life of good and abundance, you must first start feeling that feeling of abundance. And in other words, in the words of my spiritual guru, the late Dr. Wayne Dyer, he says, a change of feeling is a change of destiny. We must practice putting into our subconscious mind the assumption of the feeling of what it is that we would like to attract in our lives as if it already existed. And to feel it, not just to think it, but to feel it. So if the assumption about what you would like to become is persisted in until it becomes your dominant feeling, the attainment of our ideal is absolutely inevitable. You want to develop your spiritual gifts. You want to see the manifestations of those gifts. Start to tune in to the God voice inside, your inner GPS, and practice listening and being obedient to what is whispering to you. Because after all, a change of feeling is a change of destiny. So that concludes our show for this evening. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. A shout out to my family who are always loving and supporting me, and also to all of my friends and colleagues in all of my social networking sites. Once again, a big thank you to Susan Dyer for taking the time to share a big part of your journey and your wisdom with us. We are eternally grateful to you, and we are so looking forward to having you come back to share with us. Also, don't forget to stop by my website, yourdestinyawaits.net, to get some extra motivation and inspiration, and leave a message to let us know you stopped by. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/adatewithdestiny101, and follow us on Twitter at least101. Make sure you come back and tune in next Monday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. And always remember, folks, that real power comes from knowledge, because knowledge is power. And when we know better, we do better. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, is take the necessary time to do a true self-evaluation, seek God, and learn how to love yourself first. Because after all, you owe it to yourself to know yourself. Once again, I'm Lisa M. Saunders, and thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny. Peace and abundant blessings, everyone.
North Pole Hotline, Mrs. Claus here.
My family needs winter styles now. Can Santa come early?
Our workshop isn't open yet, but Old Navy is.
Old Navy?
Yup. Starting tomorrow in stores only, get 50% off all outerwear, all sweaters, and all jeans.
50% off all those styles?
Plus 40% off everything online at oldnavy.com.
What if we can't wait to wear it?
Buy online and pick up in store for free.
Who needs Santa? I've got Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
Holiday your heart out with 50% off all outerwear, sweaters, and jeans at Old Navy. Offers valid 11/24 and 11/25. Exclusions apply. See store for details. North Pole Hotline, Mrs. Claus here.
My family needs winter styles now. Can Santa come early?
Our workshop isn't open yet, but Old Navy is.
Old Navy?
Yup. Starting tomorrow in stores only, get 50% off all outerwear, all sweaters, and all jeans.
50% off all those styles?
Plus 40% off everything online at oldnavy.com.
What if we can't wait to wear it?
Buy online and pick up in store for free.
Who needs Santa? I've got Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
Holiday your heart out with 50% off all outerwear, sweaters, and jeans at Old Navy. Offers valid 11/24 and 11/25. Exclusions apply. See store for details.